Your Bibles, turn with me please to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 9. 1 Timothy 2 and 9. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A woman must receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is written here, understand what you have said and why, preparing to make any adjustments that are necessary, being challenged and encouraged. May we handle it accurately, handle it rightly, and allow you to speak to us. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a challenging passage of Scripture. Not because I'm unclear as to what it says or what it means. I'm concerned about my ability to express it clearly and correctly. It's a passage of Scripture that has been abused and misunderstood. On this Mother's Day, it was a passage I thought about skipping. But I thought, no, I need to understand this, because remember, it's written to me. Right after Timothy, it was written to me as your pastor. So I need to understand who we are. It is not about male superiority. Understand that right from the start, because frankly, there is no such thing. Neither is it about putting her in her place, which would be a really big mistake. What it is about? God made both, giving each an important role. So whatever else I might say, or whatever else I might get wrong, get this right. God made both men and women, husbands and wives, giving each an important role. Let's listen to what Scripture has to say. Some instruction. Verse 9. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Both of those verses go together and must be understood together in their context. Clearly, while we may misunderstand verse 9, the point is verse 10. Those of you who are here this morning in Christ, ladies, your goal is to be known for, identified as, characterized by good works as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Understand that. Don't let verse 9 confuse that, please. Verse 9 is a statement that reflects very much the culture in which Paul was writing. But it also reflects our culture to a certain extent. As Paul is writing and people are thinking about the women who, when they get ready to go out, will do anything and everything to make themselves noticed. In Paul's day, that characterized the prostitute. The woman whose sole desire is to get another man's attention. See me, look at me, want me, desire me, pay me. That has no place in the church. Why would you want to copy that expression? Why would you want to copy that style? It would be inappropriate. Now, the other part of this, which is very true today, is again just that idea that I want to be noticed. I want people to see me. I want people to be impressed with how I present myself today. Now, does that mean throw away the hairbrush, the toothbrush, the iron, or whatever else it takes to make clothing look appropriate? Absolutely not. That's not what Paul is saying. Peter says something very similar. The book of Proverbs says some things very similar. It's not that we or you, ladies, give no attention to how you look. Clearly, all of you did, and thank you. But I see none of you look as though when you got ready this morning, you hoped everybody watched as you walked in. See, you already get this. Thank you. Because you understand the point of verse 10. What I really want people to know, if they need to know anything about me, is that I'm a godly woman. Maybe today, with children to get ready or other things happening today, later, maybe today's the day you didn't start with personal devotions, but you will later. You'll spend time in God's Word. Some of you got up extra early this morning because today was going to be so busy and you needed to spend time in God's Word. Thank you. That's what this is talking about. That's what this is all about. What are you known for? The hat you wear on Easter? Or the way you respond when someone in church needs something? I listen, I watch. Almost all of you spoke to Don and Charlotte this morning. Why? Because you love them. You care for them. I didn't see anybody walk in and say, hey, look at me. You get this. That's what Paul is reminding Timothy of and reminding me of. And so I'm reminding you. Concentrate on what's important, what's really important about who you are. Secondly, here in verse 11, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Now, there are a couple of things we need to understand about this. Something that's in the news today. There are parts of the world, cultures, today, where it is inappropriate, illegal, for women to seek and or receive an education. When it comes time to teach anything, women aren't included. It's just not necessary. So when you see something like this, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. First, look and see, a woman must, may, can quietly receive instruction. This is counterculture as Paul is writing it. Most of those people don't think this way. The synagogue was all about the men who gathered. And if they weren't careful, the early church would be all about the men who gathered to be taught. And Paul is saying, bring the women in. Bring in the girls. Bring in the ladies. And teach them. Let them learn. And yes, he adds something that does not sit well with our culture. But he adds it because you may remember in our study of 1 Corinthians, a part of what Paul wanted the church to remember is that things needed to be done in order. And as they were regularly gathering for worship, as they were regularly gathering for teaching, Paul says, teach, women, understand, listen, but receive it with submissiveness. That's an attitude. Now remember, Paul's situation, Timothy's situation, a little different than mine. Timothy didn't teach out of a Bible, a book, containing 66 books, divided Old Testament, New Testament, to a room full of people with their own Bible sitting in their laps. He didn't do that. Instead, Timothy, needed to remember what he had been taught, remember what was true, what was consistent, and share that. And when you hear that truth, submit to it. Bring yourself in order under it. Now, let me add a little something here. Subordinate in no way means inferior. Very important. Example, Jesus. Several times, especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus taught that he submitted himself to the will of the Father. Does that sound familiar to you? Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. Does that mean that Jesus is somehow inferior to the Father? Absolutely not. Remember, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit, all three equally, totally God, all three but one. Each performing a very important role. Each God. Neither inferior to the other, but each submitting to the other in the role that they have taken for themselves or that they have been given. So to submit in no way means inferiority. It simply means that at some point in each situation, somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to make a decision. Then in verse 12, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, again, this is in the context of church, or of the church, or as they're meeting as a church, or as families together. Paul is saying that the position or the responsibility to teach the group, to teach men and women, does not extend to women, but there and in that setting, they are to remain quiet. Now, this is not all Paul has to say on the subject, but we'll stop here because that's where he stops here with Timothy. Is he saying that women cannot teach at all? No. No, there are, in fact, and I think as I understand what Paul is saying here, it has seemed quite appropriate. There have been times, for instance, in our adult Sunday school class when we've had a woman teach. Unique circumstance. There was never any question as to who she submitted to as she was teaching. There was never any sense of her taking over the class or having any responsibility beyond what she was teaching or anything like that. I think in complete compliance with what Paul is saying here. The key here is authority. Again, who's in charge, and the question of submission. Now, all of this comes together for me as Paul offers two verses of explanation. Why? Why this? Why, Timothy, do you need to conduct yourself together in the church this way? Verse 13. For it was Adam who was created first, and then Eve. Now, it's possible if this verse existed all by itself, you might think, okay, God's one of those people who just says, whoever's first is in charge. By virtue of birth order, you are considered first. Well, again, if this is all we had, you might come to that conclusion. But let me go back with you to Genesis 1 and 2. Do you remember how that all went? Because Timothy did. Timothy would have known. And if he didn't add it when he was teaching this, it was because they already knew it and he knew it. Yes, Adam was created first. God made everything else and then said, let us make man in our image. In other words, of all the animals that we have created, of all the living beings that we have created, let's make something in our image, which means unique from all the rest of creation. God created, yes, a man, with intellect, emotion, and will, reflecting the image of God. Intellect, emotion, and will created Adam, the first man. One of the first jobs that God gave to Adam was name all the other animals. Now, that would have been daunting, but Adam could do it. His mind wasn't polluted or filled with other stuff. And so he named all of the animals. And as important as that job was, it served a second purpose, and that was to show to Adam, after seeing everything else that God had created, you still have an empty spot, don't you? Well, Adam, that's because we're not done yet creating. You're not complete. You were made first, but you're not enough. You won't do well by yourself. You need someone to complete you. That's what that word help meet means. You need the rest of you. and God created Eve. So the story could be somewhat true. God was only practicing with Adam, and he got it right with Eve. But what he did do is he finished the process. Everything that was lacking in Adam, and there was lots lacking, everything that was lacking in Adam, God provided with Eve. So when Paul says the reason for all of this is because Adam was created first, it's not a birth order thing. It's simply that, again, at the end of the day, somebody has to make the decision and somebody has to be responsible for that decision. Because you remember how the next decision goes these two make? They're both blaming one another. And at the end of the day, who's responsible? Adam. Verse 14, it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Now again, if this is all you knew about the story, you might be tempted to think, well, women just aren't that smart. They can't handle tough, you know, they hit a block, they hit a hard spot, they just can't handle it. That's not the story. That's not what happened. Yes, Satan tempted Eve. Yes, he made her question what God had said, what Adam had told her. And in the questioning, yes, she was deceived. But you notice here Paul says that Adam was not deceived? Well, you say, wait a minute. Wasn't he deceived? No. Adam made a choice. Adam knew exactly what was going on when Eve handed him that fruit and he ate it. That was not the result of deception. That was the result of disobedience. That's why Adam is responsible for the sin that stained all of creation. Not because Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. There is an opportunity in all of this as we conclude. Verse 15, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Again, please read all of this and in its context. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, apparently that sin came so quickly that Eve had no opportunity to conceive, let alone have children. But once sin had stained God's perfect, beautiful creation, Adam and Eve began to have their family. And each child, as he is born, is named reflecting the promise that God gave to Eve, and that is that she, not directly, but indirectly, eventually, she would be responsible for the one who would ultimately redeem this sinful, fallen creation. And those names that she gave, Cain, Abel, Seth, all reflect her believing that while she had made a terrible mistake, had sinned, and had played a role in sin staining all of creation, God was going to give her the opportunity to eventually produce the remedy to this problem. And that's what Paul's talking about here, in part. The role that women play as mothers with their children, and how mothers with their children affect not only that generation, but generations to come. With their faith, their love, their sanctity, their self-restraint, their care and nurture for their children, the example they are to their children as they grow up, especially to the girls, as they understand what it means to be a woman, to be a wife, to be a mother. Now you may ask, well, what about those who never marry? Or those who marry and never have children? Do they have a role here? Absolutely. You know women, don't you, who, again, for whatever reason, never became mothers biologically, but mothered a lot just the same. For years, we had a secretary up here at the grade school. Never, she married, but never had children. Every year, she mothered hundreds of children, class after class. You know people, the fun aunt, right? You know, she's not married yet. She dotes on her nieces and nephews. We're learning the joy of grandparenting. You know, it's just a generation back. Shortly before we left, we took Addison with us last week, and shortly before we left, she got a splinter. I wanted to hand her my pocket knife. Grandma, oh, she looks for the needle, the tweezers, and very lovingly pulls it out. That's the role you play. It's the role that God has given to you. I, as your pastor, I, as your husband, I, as your grandfather, I need to make sure you understand how special you are in that role. I ask you to submit, but I have to be very careful as to what I ask you to submit to. I have to make sure I'm asking you to submit to the Word of God. To those of you who have yet to make the choice, understand, marry a man you can submit to. Marry a man you can follow, who you can trust, who will care for you, love you. I am blessed because I look out and sure, we're 2,000 years removed from when this was written, and we're in an entirely different culture, but we're all looking at this and saying, okay, this is true. I know it is. And each of us, each of you, done it in a little different way. But I can look at each of you and say, you've done it, you're doing it. Do you need to make some adjustments? I don't know. What I see, I like. If as you consider what's written here, not anything I've said, if as you consider what's written here, you need to tweak some things, do it. If as you read what's written here, you think, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm moving in that direction, continue moving in that direction. And if you need a reference, let me know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for its truthfulness. And I pray, Father, we've handled it correctly, accurately. And I thank you for the privilege of pastoring a church with men and women, husbands and wives, who understand their role. None of us gets it right all the time, but Father, I feel confident that we're all moving in that direction. We all understand who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to, the role we've been given and how we're to pursue it. Well, I thank you for that. I've been here a while, but it's not because of me. It's because of all of those who've come before and the example out here in the pews. This works. This is best. May we not be ashamed of what you've written and what you require of us, just because our culture would disagree, would think it old-fashioned or somehow confining. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. And when we get up from there and pursue you and Christ's likeness, we each have a role to play. A role you have called us to. May we, in our fulfilling that role, honor and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.